church. What is that? And Christ, just before he ascends into heaven, he gives his disciples final instructions. Final instructions from Acts chapter 1. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. How, or for Mayfair to follow Christ's final instructions, what must we do? What must we do? We're going to look at three simple steps, really. Three key concepts that lead to three action steps. Three key concepts that lead to three action steps built on this final instruction from Jesus, and then what follows in what his disciples do and how they respond to this message. So, verse 6 of the Acts of the Apostles. It could also be a subtitle. It often says Acts of the Apostles. It could say the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. That would actually be more accurate, because the apostles themselves could do what? Nothing. They would have gone nowhere and locked themselves away, hiding from everyone, if it were not for the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so would we. And so would we. And so in verse 6, I just go back to the first slide there, actually, Brian. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So first, you see in verse 6 that the disciples are sort of preoccupied. Now, with good reason, they are anticipating the coming of the kingdom, the restoration of the kingdom to Israel, the fulfillment of God's covenant with David, or the Davidic covenant, which meant what? Freedom from Roman oppression and taxation. Are you going to take the throne now, Jesus? Wipe out all these bad people, and we're going to sit next to you? Is it time, right? We want to know the time. We want to know when this is going to take place. We've been following you now for 3 years, and we saw you now as we see you as a glorious risen Savior. So we want to know the details of the chronology, the timeline. And then Jesus says, no, don't worry about that. God the Father knows these things. It's not for us to busy ourselves on lots of timeline charts and argumentation and debates about when things might take place, but instead be simple. The mission that Jesus Christ has given the church is very simple, very, very focused. That's what I mean by the word simple, meaning that everything is geared around God's mission. And so when Jesus says to them, this is what you need to concentrate on, verse 8, it's a strong contrast to the previous dialogue, but you will receive, like he's saying, don't worry about that. This is not up to you. You're to be about the mission of God, which is bearing witness of the risen Christ to the ends of the earth. But how are they going to do that? He says this key phrase, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Christ gives them a mission that would be impossible without God's power. To bear witness to the risen Christ here and around the world would be impossible for these apostles and those also the early followers of Jesus without across the entire globe. They could never do that in their own strength. They wouldn't even start. We wouldn't even start in our own strength. A supernatural ability from God. And so we know, just as Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, that he is with us always, even to the very end of the age. He is with us through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, which we talked about last week. This is what Christ has promised to us, that we're this mission, near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These also with one mind. They're focused around the one mission. Remember, one mind, unity of heart. Jesus has given us these important, vital, final instructions. With one mind, they're together and were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Continually devoting themselves to prayer, demonstrating persistent prayer. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They recognize that this mission that Jesus has called them to do is impossible apart from God's power, and so we're going to pray that God does what only he can do. The picture of prayer, really, biblically, is that you are on your knees or even on your face like this.
I was wondering if I could have a volunteer actually come up here. I want to demonstrate something really quick. Mike Smith, where are you? Yeah, come on down up here. You look like a good guinea pig. He's got his tennis shoes on. All right. So the word for worship is very closely related to prayer because we all worship through prayer. So if you could just lay face down like this. Yep, totally face down like that. That is how a submissive peasant, if you will, or submissive servant of the king would stand before his king. In the first century, prior to that, all throughout biblical history. And the scary thing is that the king held a pretty large metal object in his hand, a scepter. Now, when we see renditions of medieval period kings, they're carrying this like little wand, you know, with some jewels on it. That ain't a scepter from biblical period time, okay? Scepter, during the time of King David, during the time of the great Nebuchadnezzar, the scepter would, I'm thinking of King Ahasuerus, Xerxes, these guys, they were giant sword-like weapons. And why did they carry the scepter? Because they, at any moment, could kill an unsubmissive servant. Yeah, because they were the final judge. And so, like Mike is doing here, now I'm not God, but it's like total submission. I don't think he knows I'm doing that. And when we bow in prayer, we're saying to God, my life is yours. And then God, in his great mercy and his rich grace, says, you can stand in my presence because of the blood of Christ. So you can stand up, Mike. But that's a symbol of prayer. That when Jesus calls us to enter his presence, when God has given us this gift of prayer, that we can go to the throne of grace knowing that we're not in fear of him lopping our head off, but that we're his children, we're heirs with all the saints in light. And he hears, and he listens, and he responds. One of my teachers, Howard Hendricks, says, when prayer is focused, power falls. When prayer is focused, power falls. How that works in God's sovereignty, I don't fully understand, but I know he has given us the gift of prayer, and that when we pray, he sovereignly moves. You know,
thought, man, I've run the crim before, but this kind of running is way better than just running in a race because I'm running for Jesus. To bring someone who doesn't have a Bible so that he can thrive in